Isaiah chapter 5, starting with verse 20.
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champions at mixing drinks, who acquit the guilty for a bribe, but deny justice to the innocent. Therefore, as tongues of fire lick up straw, and as dry grass sinks down into the flames, so their roots will decay, and their flowers blow away like dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord Almighty and spurned the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the Lord's anger burns against his people. His hand is raised and he strikes them down. The mountains shake and the dead bodies are like refuse in the streets. Yet, for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Please pray with me. Our God, cause us to fear you. Our God, cause us to look at your holiness and to tremble. Our God, give us a reality check now that as we look at your word, because we are quick to run after our own ways. We are quick to rest in our own thoughts. We are quick to think ourselves wise. But Lord, cause us now to come face to face with you. Cause us now to come face to face with who you really are. Lord, and may we shudder. Because you are holy. Because you are perfect. Because you are set apart. And because you will judge sin. God, lead us in your truth. God, please lead us in your righteousness. Even this night. As we look at our sinfulness and look at the answer for our sinfulness, God, and as we run to you as children that know they have done wrong, as we run to you as Adam should have when you called out to him, Lord, please embrace us. Lord, please hold us close in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. When I was a child, we used to stay at our grandparents. And when we were there, we lost sight of reality. We thought that there was an endless drawer of candy that was made just for us, and we could have it whenever we wanted. We thought that everyone taller than us was made to cater to our every whim. And the longer we were there, the worse it got. Because Grandma let you eat anything you wanted as long as you finished it. And if you said pretty please with sugar on top, you would get it. We in our spiritual lives, we lose sight of our reality. We lose sight of the person of God. We lose sight of his holiness. And like that child that forgot Daddy was coming back at the end of the weekend, we forget that there is a holy and a righteous judge, a perfect and holy God who judges sin, a holy God who sees everything that is said, be holy as I am holy. We forget like the ruler who thought he was good and had it all together and had kept all the laws since his youth. We think we've got it together. We think we read our scriptures and we do our family worship and we make it to the assembly whenever we can. We've put off sins A, B, and C. We think we've got it. We have lost sight of reality. We think we're living at Grandma's house. But the reality is, Daddy's coming. Make your path straight. So this morning, our reality, this evening, our reality check is the holiness of God, our sinfulness, and the judgment that will come. A reality check. We must marvel at God's perfection. The idea of God being perfect escapes us. The idea that He never, ever, ever makes a mistake. Do you ever say, "Oh, I wish I hadn't said that"? He never does that. Do you ever have an accident? He never does that. Do you ever sin by mistake? He never does that. Do you ever sin on purpose? He never does that. You see, this is the perfection of God. He is the one who never ever sins and never ever makes a mistake. This is the one who will judge us. This is the one who sees you. This is the one who knows your every thought. So marvel at God's perfection. And consider what your life looks like to such a perfect judge. You see, we can sit in our pews and we can sit in our covenant homes and we shake our heads at the sin of the world, the sins of politicians, because we think we're so much better. But God is that much better. And He looks through you. He sees every moment of your life. God, this perfect one, is the creator and the sustainer of everything. John 1:3. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And He holds everything together. Hebrews 1:3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. God, who is perfect, holds you together. What place does the fear of the Lord have in your life? I had these friends when I was an unbeliever, and I lost them when I became an unbeliever. And they were atheists. And the reason they gave was, if the God that you talk about exists, I would be too terrified to go to sleep at night. How honest is that, and how real is that? We lay in our beds, and we have no fear of God, yet we know He has seen our every thought. He has seen our every deed. He has seen our self-righteousness. And these unbelieving people have more of a grasp of God than we profess, as we willfully sin. So marvel at God's holiness. Know that He holds you and everything together. And know that this perfect holy God who sees everything is everywhere and every when. The God that you cannot escape. Psalm 139:7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. This is the God who is. This is the great I am. So marveling at God's perfection, know that He has actually called you to be perfect. The one who has never sinned, the one who will never sin, the one who has never made a mistake, has said to you, be holy as I am holy. Ecclesiastes 12:14. Let's move to James 2:10. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. God has called you to be perfect, yet if you stumble in one area, you are completely guilty. For God to see, to say, be perfect as I am perfect, be holy as I am holy. It's like taking a crippled person to the edge of a black diamond at a ski slope. The black diamond at ski slopes, you go to the edge of it, you look down, and people disappear over the edge. And it looks like a cliff, and you slide up on skis, ready to tumble over to your death. So it's like taking someone who can't even walk, someone who can't even stand up straight, and taking them to the edge and say, do this. And disappear over to the edge and make it to the bottom perfectly. There's no way. There's no way. Be perfect. God calls for you to be perfect. So many of us are like the rich young ruler in Luke 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. You see, he had this checklist that he thought, if I can do this and I can do this and I can do this, I got it down. And he shows up in Christ Jesus' heart. And when he says, "What must I do?" Christ lays out the things that he thought he had down. He says, "Do this." And the guy is like, "Yes, got it." Just as if you went to Christ and said, "What must I do?" And you had this list. You see, for our personal godliness exams at seminary, there were things they were going to ask you. They were going to ask you about your personal devotions. They were going to ask you about your family worship. And so, knowing this, and knowing your personal godliness exam is coming, you make sure you have your personal devotions in. You make sure you've been doing your family worship and all the other things. That's kind of what this guy did. He had his list, and so do you. And when he said, "I have done all these things from my youth," Jesus says, "Oh yes, and the other thing. Sell all your stuff and follow me." And because he was rich, he hung his face. You see, and as you would come before Christ, and he would say, "Do this, do this, and do this, and do this," and you would say, "Yes." He would say, "Oh, and I hope you know it. I hope you know it. That thing that you haven't given up. You see, we're all stained by sin. And this holy God must punish every sin. Our own children in the church come around with this idea that good people are the ones that get to go to heaven. Get it out of your head, kids. Every sin must be punished. And you're not good enough. You're not good enough to be ushered into the kingdom of heaven. Get it out of your head, adults. You are not good enough to be ushered into the kingdom of heaven. See, God is holy. God has called you to be holy. You are sinful. And every sin must be judged. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." You see, we live in a black and fallen world. And we think we're living at grandma's. And everything's okay. It is not. When you rose this morning, was the fear of the Lord on your heart? And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it is the foundation of righteousness and salvation? When you bowed your head over a meal, was the fear of the Lord on your heart? When you climbed into a tin death trap and drove here this evening, was the fear of the Lord on your heart? Or do you think you're living at grandma's? And the holy God does not see. You see, every one of us deserve to be struck down. Every sin will be judged. Revelation 19, starting with verse 15. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nation. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The winepress of the wrath of God will be tread. So here we stand. Here you stand before this holy and perfect God who sees everything and every thought. Here you stand, sinful, in the truth that every sin will be judged looms. Children, what hope do you have? Sons and daughters in Eastville, what hope do you have? Adults, what hope do you have? Brother, sister, mother, father, what hope do you have? But to run to the suffering servant. You see, the wrath that you deserve, God has promised to save you from it. And he has promised to be your salvation. The righteous King promised to be and send salvation. This salvation is nothing short of salvation from the wrath of God, justly poured out for every sin. What has God saved you from? From your sin, yes, but from the penalty of your sin. God saves you from his own wrath. His own white hot anger. See, this is what the suffering servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, took upon himself. The white hot wrath that you deserve for every single sin that you have committed. God poured it out on himself. God poured it out on his son. This Sabbath, we will celebrate our union with Christ. This Sabbath, we will remember the suffering servant. Hear the words of the Lord. Hear what your Christ endured for you. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. God's holiness, our sinfulness, and the judgment that came on the Lord Jesus Christ for you. Let us prepare our hearts for this Sabbath to receive the body and the blood of our Lord. Pray with me. Our great and powerful King, Lord, we do tremble because you are mighty and you are holy, because you see through us. In your holiness, God, you look through us. In your holiness, God, you would justly destroy us. But God, the wrath that we deserve, you have poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have shown us mercy and grace. God, make us prepare our hearts to receive you, to come together as your children, and God, to sit at your table in the heavenly places. God, and may we glorify you in our lives as we run to you as your children, weeping because of your holiness, weeping because of our sin, and weeping because of our forgiveness and the grace that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.